Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams in East Texas, and joining me from New York City, my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. David, usually this is our week in review, and there's not going to be any news today. So I hope that you guys are not going to be disappointed, but there's not going to be one drop of news today, because we got good news to tell you about. It says, that we are supposed to comfort each other with these words. That's how they refers to the rapture. Comfort each other with them. Well, if the rapture happened after the tribulation, I don't think there'd be much comfort. There might be a lot of relief, but I don't think there'd be any comfort. But if you read the Bible the way it is intended, then you understand that you are not going to be around for the tribulation, and you should take comfort in those words. It's really, pretty basic, in my opinion, okay? So, anyway, David, I promised you that I was going to give you the show. I'm going to give you the show.
All right.
And I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut. And you want to take bets on how long it is before I jump in?
I got 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Is my bet.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Here we go.
All right, cool. So I know the last show, we're just going to follow up. There's so much in there, but we were talking about what is the rapture. And then we looked at, First Thessalonians, First Corinthians, and we got an idea. Okay, that's when Jesus is going to come back in the air, just like Isaac came back to get Rebecca. And we meet him in the air in our glorified body. So we'll have the wedding dress on or whatever you want to analogize that to.
Right.
So that'll be cool. But it's not the way, we've been shown in the movies, where you're sitting there and all of a sudden you evaporate and your clothes are sitting on the chair, right. and then you're missing out of the airplane. There's no pilot, the cars are falling all over the place, which is exciting. But that's not really what the Bible says. He says our bodies will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. So I dare say I could probably drive better if the rapture happens while I'm driving, because now I got my new glorified body, I'll be able to steer better. So it'll be safe. And then we'll be able, in my opinion, from what I see in Matthew 27:52, is we'll most likely will walk around, because it's a picture of the harvest. There's always the first fruits. You pick that little bit, and then there's the main harvest, then there's the gleaning. There's three different parts of a harvest most people don't know.
Now, you said that was Matthew 27?
27:52, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it talks about them walking around the city, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I suspect we'll be doing the same thing, is once we're glorified body, because it says those who are alive and remain, then we'll be caught up together with them in the air. So what are we doing in that time that remains? The dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are remaining. So there's a period of time. Well, how long is a period of time? Is it a couple seconds? Is it a couple minutes? Is it a couple days? Is it a couple months? We don't really have an insight on that, but there's clearly some amount of time. So that's also pan out in Acts chapter 1, where they're expecting Jesus in verse 6 to come back and take over and say, you're going to restore Israel right now? And he's like, slow down.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Oy
vey, you guys are rushing. And he said to him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. It's very important to know.
Yes.
But you shall receive power, and after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
When he had spoken these things, so he's like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be witnessing about me to the entire earth. And then he goes away. Then he leaves. When he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up into the cloud and received him out of their sight. Whoa, time out. How are we going to do this? I can see them now.
Yeah, right?
Wait, what? How am I going to get to the end of the world? There's no planes yet. So that's what they saw. And then these two dudes, it says two men stood by him in white apparel. We talked a little bit about this. I think that's probably Moses and Elijah, because it was Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration in shiny clothes.
Yeah.
So, okay, it doesn't say that anywhere, but it just, it fits the narrative.
Yeah, plus so it doesn't say, it doesn't say angels. And usually when angels is mentioned, it's very specific. Usually they say angels. They make it clear.
Yeah.
They didn't do it this
time. And it's different. It'll be clearly angels too, because angels is in angelos in the Greek, which means messenger. So it could be a person too.
Okay.
It'd be a messenger. But yeah, so yeah, you really got to read that and parse it out.
Right.
What are they writing and what's in context there?
Yeah.
But this is the best part. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he's going to come in the same manner.
Mm-hmm.
This is when he comes back, and this is when we will rise to meet him in the air.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the rapture, and I want to really point this out. People think the second coming, when he returns to earth, is the same as the rapture.
And it's not.
It is not. This is clearly says he's going to come in the air in the clouds and all of these things. We'll rise to meet him in the clouds.
Right.
When in Revelation 19, he comes down to the earth.
Yeah.
Rule and reign, and puts his feet on Mount Zion and splits in half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is going to be a different event. You can look at it as two parts of the second coming if you want. First, he comes back, gets his church. You know, and then we go in heaven and we have, you know, big wedding, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we come back together with them. You can look at it as two parts, or you can just look at it as a completely separate event.
I'll look at it
as a point is, it is a completely separate event.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So your two parts would be still two of what we call the second coming, because the first coming was two different things. Was it not?
Yes. It was the birth and the ministry.
Yeah, it was the birth first,
and
then some years later was his ministry.
Right.
Okay, but that was his first coming.
Right.
Simple as that. So it's two parts.
Right.
Same idea. Two parts, two different iterations of it. Clearly, he wasn't going to take over when he's a baby. He wasn't going to go around ministering as a baby. He had to learn and grow and do all sorts of things. Well, he's got a handful of things he's got to do here. But the... again, in verse 6, it talks about, will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? So the Jews at the time, because they were the only ones who were saved, except for a handful of peoples like the centurion and whatnot, that and they expected him to come that for that second coming. Mm-hmm. All right? And he's like, no, we have to do all this first, and that includes the rapture part. Mm-hmm. So it's real important to separate those things, okay? And then we go on to, let's look at that same kind of event here. In Revelation chapter 4, this is fun.
Yeah, I love going to Revelation.
Yes, and so it's an intro chapter in 1. 2 and 3 talks about the churches, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the church age. All right.
Right.
We do not see the church again until the end of the book of Revelation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? So it says in John says, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show ye these things which must be hereafter. So when Jesus said, what is it to you if some people will see my coming again? Remember, he's talking to disciples. Hey, who's your favorite? You know, hey, what is it to you if you're going to die and this and that and the other? So John actually saw it. I think he was transported in time.
it just says that he was there. Basically, so immediately I was in spirit and behold, the throne set in heaven.
So isn't that a cool thought? Like, John is ahead of us in time, looking at all this stuff, writing it down, going back in time 2,000 years ago to write it so we could read it today.
Right, yeah.
What am I on, Star Trek?
This is better than Beam Me Up, Scotty, any day of the week.
Yeah, this is cool. Mm-hmm. But check this out. We're gonna zip into this, and then we're gonna examine some other things too. So, and immediately it was in the spirit, and a throne was set in heaven. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne. The word is iris, by the way. It was a complete circle.
Okay.
In sight, like unto an emerald. There was a green emerald circle. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like plasma, if you would. Mm-hmm. We talked mm-hmm. about that in Genesis things. And check this out. This is the best part. And round about the throne were 24 thrones, like seats. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And those are, it's a different word here. Let me see here. That one is thronos. Okay. So around about the main throne was 24 thrones. Mm-hmm. King James made it seats because they didn't want to seem like they were all kings. However, why would we be sitting on thrones? Because we are kings and priests and we rule and reign with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these 24 elders, okay, and says in 24 thrones, it's the same word as the first word, throne, there was 24 thrones. And then upon these thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting,
uh-huh.
okay, clothed in white raiment, and they had had on their heads crowns of gold.
Uh-huh.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Who sits on thrones?
Kings.
Okay. Are angels kings?
No, they're not.
Okay. So who would be kings?
Well, that would be the Christians.
Yes. And they're clothed in white raiment.
Yeah,
now,
those who have accepted Jesus Christ and clothed in white. We've
angels
heard that
have
before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do angels have thrones?
No.
No. Okay, so they're not sitting on thrones.
No.
Do angels have crowns?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So who has crowns?
Again, that would be those that have professed.
We earn crowns, right?
Yeah, who have professed faith in Jesus Christ. There's different thrones for different. Not thrones. There's
different crowns.
Yeah. Different crowns for different achievements or.
Yeah, those who love his appearing get a crown of righteousness.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what you're looking for—the rapture, and you're looking for a second coming. You got a nice crown.
There you go.
It's going to be beautiful. Check
there
it
you
out.
Go. Okay.
All right, so here we are. They're sitting on thrones. They're in white raiment. So whose raiment was made white by the blood of the Lamb? And they had crowns of gold on their head. Mm-hmm. All right. The 24 elders is the church.
Explain.
Because they have crowns. Who has crowns?
Well, I understand that, but I'm talking about the number 24.
Number 24. There's the only kind of reference to 24 is the 24. They had a succession of watches where the priests would watch. They had 24 separate watches, and they would take turns. So we see that in there, watching over there too. Some people say that it's the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. No, it doesn't say 12 and 12. It says 24.
Yeah,
and there's 24. Gaps. We see different gaps in there's 24 mentions of gaps in time throughout the Bible too. So you really got to look for it. It's been a debate for years and years and years, but it's a representation, and 12 is a representation of a body. So still trying to figure it out why 24, but those are where 24 is found.
Yeah. Okay.
But the clear implication is that these people are representative of the church,
okay,
the bride of Christ,
okay,
because they're around his throne, they're on thrones, they're wearing the white raiment, and they have crowns.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we can even look up more elders, and I really want to hammer this home.
Okay.
So there's a few different spots here. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped God that was on a throne. Where that's in Revelation 19. And then we're in four right now. We saw the 24 elders. Okay. And they can't be angels because, check this out, all the angels were around the throne with the 24 elders.
Okay. Yeah.
So if that's all of the angels,
yeah,
then that clearly means that they're not angels.
Yeah, and it's same as with these four living creatures too. I jump down to verse 6.
Yep.
Okay.
And so we see clearly that now the four beasts and the 20 144,000 and the elders, and they could learn a song, and they fell on their faces and worship God. So there's a lot. You'll get through a handful of chapters where we see the 24 elders.
Yeah.
So the description clearly lets us know that this is the church. So here we are. We'll back up again. We're Revelation chapter 4. John sees a portal. It says door here in the King James, but the word is portal.
Okay.
All right. And the word is thura in the Greek, and it best, now it says it's translated door or gate, but it's a portal. So there's this portal in heaven, a fold, like an exclosure, a door or a wicket or a larger one. It's an opening. Right. So they just called it a door. Okay. So it's an opening into heaven, and immediately. So here we go. Whoop, now we see him up, and he's before the throne in chapter 4, and there's the church.
Yeah. Can you imagine being him?
Yeah, I mean, right?
Good being grief.
Being befuddled.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I put myself in his shoes for a millisecond there, and it just was mind-blowing.
Okay. Imagination.
Yeah.
So here we are. This big old wide opening. He's in heaven immediately, and then we see the 24 elders around the throne before all of the chaos takes place all throughout Revelation. Okay, before even the seals are opened.
Before the wrath. Before the wrath.
Before all this stuff comes down. So that's just another way of saying, okay, that's the rapture. Boom. We're up, we're in heaven, and it's before all of this tribulation takes place in Revelation.
And now I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to them wicked folks. You know, I mean, that's basically, that's not what God said, but that's basic. I mean, can you imagine? You know, he's just transported. He's in heaven. He's standing there, and he's like in awe, and probably, can't even pick his chin up off the floor. And God now, he says, "Okay, now watch this." I mean, basically, it's right?
Fun, right?
Good grief! Wowie.
Okay, so and then we see now. Some people say, "Well, Matthew 24 is talking about at the after these things," And Mark has the same narrative. Luke it looks like it's a different narrative. It's at least from a different perspective.
Okay.
Because he says before these things in Luke.
Yeah. Okay.
So as we love to go back, because Luke is talking to the Gentile nations.
Okay.
But Luke will be the Gentile. And Matthew is talking to the Jews. So was Mark. Mm-hmm. Mark apparently was writing for Peter. So Jesus went out and departed. So remember the chicken event?
Okay. Let's remind people.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the chicken event.
Okay.
Now, right smack at the end of Jesus' ministry, the Jews still had the opportunity to say, okay, we received the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus would have restored Israel to its former glory at that time, like they just asked in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And these disciples here are asking that very same question. Now, remember, Jesus is alive. They have no clue about the next 2,000 years, what's going to happen. They think Jesus is there in order to restore the kingdom to Israel at that point.
He's going to be king, and so are they. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah. And that's what they thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand the narrative from that perspective. It's not a rapture narrative here, okay? Because he's not talking about that. They asked him a specific question. So the chicken event is we're back from 24, just go back a couple verses into 23, 37. And it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, mm-hmm. even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, mm-hmm. and you would not.
You were not willing.
So he's crying over Jerusalem. I came here. I would have gathered you just like a hen gathers her little chicks, okay? Mm-hmm. But you refused. So mm-hmm. Jesus is crying. You refused. But behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Mm-hmm. So here is that curse, if you would. Mm-hmm. Your house is now desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me going forward till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That point, we changed. Mm-hmm. We're not doing Israel anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to move to the church. Mm-hmm. The disciples knew nothing about this.
Right.
All right, but Jesus spoke that in his prayer, which he was speaking over them. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he sat down on the Mount of Olives, we're in 24:3, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age?
Right.
King James says world, but it's aeon. It says, mm-hmm. when is the end of this age? Mm-hmm. In other words, when is all this going to end, and when are you going to take over as king? Mm-hmm. And that's what he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So this entire narrative is saying, okay, you as Jews, this is what you're going to understand. We're going to do all this. These mm-hmm. things are going to happen. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. If you're in Judea, flee to the mountains, yada, yada, yada. I hope it's not on the Sabbath. All this stuff because you're Jews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then he says, after these things, then I'll come back to them who say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So when Jesus was alive, there was no concept of the rapture because that was introduced in Acts mm-hmm. chapter 1, where he said, you watch him go up, he's going to come back the same way. Mm-hmm. And then Paul explained that as they went along because mm-hmm. he got that revelation.
Right.
So it's very clear that you cannot use that for any kind of rapture timing or anything. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yes, so. It does. It does. And, you know, now I think my reading of it is that you can take parts of Matthew 24 and equate it to the rapture of the church or equate it to, you know,
well, there's parallels. Yeah. There's parallels because it's a separate harvest. Yeah. So there will be a harvest at the end, but that was for the Jews. Okay, and that's what I want to get into next. We've got 5 minutes in the first half here. That's what I really want to point out. You need to understand not everybody's lumped into the same thing. A farmer has different harvests.
Okay.
Even Jesus himself said, I have sheep of a different fold. Mm-hmm. When he was talking, and I got to go tend to them.
Okay.
So and that's why he always gives us the harvest picture. And the main harvest that we see are barley, wheat, olives and grapes.
Okay.
These are harvests.
Okay.
So I suspect there's probably four different kind of harvests. Maybe the ones before the flood were one. The age of chaos, which the Essenes call it, Abraham up to Jesus was another one. And then the church is another one. The tribulation saints are another one. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because there was one...
But we'll
one thing,
find out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't find it right now.
Let me finish this up.
Yeah,
we'll tackle that when we come back.
I've got a question. So now, is the reason, but yeah, I haven't found it yet. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's different harvests, and each harvest are at different times. Okay. Mm-hmm. Barley's before the wheat. We see that with Passover and first fruits, uh-huh. and then we see Pentecost is another harvest of. The wheat over there, and then later on comes the olive harvest, and then the final one is the grapes. We see mm-hmm. that with the oil and the grapes of wrath in Revelation, mm-hmm. and we'll also see that with the black horse. He says, hey, a quart of wheat for a denarius or a day's mm-hmm. wage, you'll get enough to eat with working the entire day, but don't hurt the oil and the wine, because we see the oil and the grape harvest later. They come later. Mm-hmm. So we see four different harvests. Each harvest has three different phases. So we have a harvest. There's the first fruits, mm-hmm. which is you take that off and you offer it to the Lord, the things that ripen first. Then you have the main harvest. Okay. That's when you'll see the big one. And then you'll have the gleaning where they go back into the corners. So whenever you see angels saying, go to the four corners of the world, and this is the harvest, that's the gleaning. That's the final harvest when he says, go to the four corners, because that's what they would do. They would leave the corners for the homeless people and for the gleaning. They'll go pick it back up later. Okay. So when you see gleaning, when you see four corners of any kind, it's not the main harvest. It's the final harvest of that crop. Okay. So you really got to parse this out. We're not all in one resurrection, if you would. We're not all in the same harvest.
Okay.
We are all harvested by the same master of the vineyard. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus. You know, he is the Lord of all. We're all saved by his blood. It's different, but we have different harvests.
Yeah.
And that's what people really need to see, that the bride harvest is different. So he uses that analogy as well. How can there be wedding guests if everybody's the bride?
Right. Yeah.
You have to have some people. You got to have the parents of the bride. Okay. You got to have wedding guests. These are different groups. You got to have the 144,000, which I believe are groomsmen. So they're over there doing their thing. And they're the wedding party, if you would. But that's that. So, I mean, we're at a minute and a half here. You want to take us into the second half?
Absolutely. What we're trying to do is let you guys know, number one, that the Bible has never been wrong a single time, ever. And it is very clear about the events that will take place when we near the time that Jesus comes back, first for his church, and then finally the second coming of Christ to establish a thousand-year reign on the earth. The rapture's got to come first. We're convinced of it. We feel like if you read the Bible, that you'll be convinced of it too. And what David's doing is taking us through just point by point on this rapture thing, and I want you guys to follow it carefully because this is very, very, very important, okay? Because, you know, just like there's a last play in the football game, there's a last person to accept Christ before the rapture of the church, and you better be among them unless you want to go through the worst time that's ever happened. You think things are bad now? Consider this Christmas Day, New Year's, your birthday, and everything all wrapped into one. That's how good it is right now. I'm being serious. I am not kidding you guys. It's going to get really bad, and you can avoid that by simply accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hang in there with us for the second half of the show. David's going to tell you more about the rapture, and we're also going to give you an opportunity today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hang in there with us. And we'll be back right after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper with the Week in Review. U.S. President Joe Biden has signed an agreement that prevents a partial government shutdown from taking effect. It was due to start this Saturday without a further agreement. But the House and the Senate both passed a measure on Thursday which extended the deadline, pushing them further back into March, in order for lawmakers to agree a longer-term deal. The stopgap funding bill now gives lawmakers just a week until the next deadline on March the 5th. All of this came on the same week that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he was leaving the role in November. He's been the longest-serving Republican Senate leader. It follows divisions within the party and questions over whether McConnell could endorse presumptive candidate Donald Trump. FSN's Caroline Malone reports from Washington.
It's time for the next generation, said Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell from Congress on Wednesday. He's been in office for 40 years representing Kentucky and party leader since 2007, the longest stint in Senate history. But McConnell is now stepping down after a time of controversy, trying to get spending and foreign aid bills through the Senate and division among Republicans. Until recently, it wasn't clear if he would endorse the presumed party nomination for presidential candidate Donald Trump. He's called him practically and morally responsible for the January 6th Capitol attack when Trump supporters stormed Congress. McConnell is stepping down just after the November elections. Caroline Malone, Washington.
A judge in the U.S. state of Georgia heard closing arguments on Friday in a case that could see the prosecutor removed from Donald Trump's election interference case. The former president's lawyers are trying to disqualify Fannie Willis over an undisclosed affair that she had with a top official on the prosecuting team. It centers on charges that Donald Trump and 14 co-defendants pressured officials in the state of Georgia to overturn the election result in 2020 that saw Trump lose to Joe Biden. Also this week, President Biden and Donald Trump both visited the U.S.-Mexico border. The competing trips to Texas highlighted the importance of immigration in this, a presidential election year, as both men vie for the Oval Office. FSN's Benji Hire sent this report from the border in Texas.
Joe Biden calls the situation here a crisis. The border, he says, is broken. More than 6.3 million migrants have been detained crossing into the United States illegally during his time in office, a higher number than under his predecessors. For him, this trip is about damage limitation. The White House has hinted at tougher border security and asylum measures, but recent polling shows that immigration remains a top issue for voters. And that's being pounced upon by Donald Trump. Benji Hire in Brownsville, Texas.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Okay. Hey, folks, we are back for the second half of this particular show. I think it's part three on the rapture. Who knows? We're going to get into dozens of shows, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Amen.
So, hey, JD, we're having some fun, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And by the way, for you guys, we spent some time in between segments here. So I gave David a whole bunch of stuff that he's not going to have time to talk about today. So you need to hang in there with us, because we're going to be going to this for a while. Go ahead, David.
It's going to be a little bit. Yeah. All right. So actually, you know what? Let me point that out now. If you have any questions or you want to address something, just send it to thehiddenday@protonmail.com. thehiddenday@protonmail.com. And we'll see if we can answer your questions.
Amen.
As long as they're not kooky.
Yeah. And even if they are, we'll still have an answer for you.
Well, we'll try, but I don't know. I get some weird questions sometimes. Okay. Now, we see that I was pointing out in the first half how Matthew was written unto Israel because they expect him to come back. We saw in the book of Acts in the last show that they were still expecting him to restore the kingdom to Israel at that point. The disciples here at this point didn't know anything about this church thing that was coming up, let alone a rapture and a dispensation that is there. So I wanted to point out that church is separate from Israel. It's also a separate harvest, which we were talking about.
Yeah.
So the separate harvest would mean a separate harvesting time. Mm-hmm. And then we also looked at you know, the four winds. So I know you had a question on Matthew 24, and I was down where he says,
was it 19? Let's see. I'm looking here. If you find it before I do.
And he says, he'll come and immediately, there it is in 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Okay, so people use this all the time. It says immediately after the tribulation. Well, yeah, because what was the narrative here? This was while Jesus was still alive, the disciples still expected him to restore the kingdom to Israel at that point. And remember, just before this, in verse 23, Jesus was alone and he was praying over Jerusalem. He says, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chickens, the chicken event. But he said, no, your house will be left desolate, and you won't receive me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then the disciples say, look at the temple. Isn't it great? When are you going to restore this? So now from this Jewish perspective, and remember, there's different harvests. So he's not talking about the church here. He's talking about what the disciples specifically asked him. And it's all very Hebrew-centric. Flee from Jerusalem. Don't be on the Sabbath. Everything like that. The whole chapter into 25 is very Hebrew-centric. This is what's going to happen to the Jews, not the Christians.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they use this here immediately after the tribulation. And that's it. They cut off everything. They go, oh, look, it says immediately after the tribulation. You can't do that. You got to read it in context, and you have to have corroborating evidence, and you have to get it within the picture of the entire Bible. All right. You can't just cut that off and say, well, that's it. Too bad for you. I'm out.
Yeah. My discussion with another individual before dealt with verse 31. That's Matthew 24,
Yep, that's where we're going to go.
And he will send his angels with a great shout of a trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And my contention in that was that this was not about the rapture of the church. And I mean, I got blowback from that, okay, saying that it was. And I am convinced that this is not the rapture. The rapture's already taken place. The tribulation's already taken place. And now God is instructing the angels to go all around heaven and get everybody, all of us, because we're out there having a good time. We've been in heaven for 7 years. He grounds us all up, and we go, because that's mm-hmm. what it says. I mean,
right. Now think of it as Hebrew-centric as well, okay?
Go ahead.
Then, so after the tribulation, the sun's dark, the moon turns to blood, and the stars are all falling from heaven. Now, right. That word, a lot of flat earthers will use that. Oh, look, the stars fell from heaven. How can that be if they're so far away? The word there is astare, which is where we get our word stars, and it means to be strewn,
mm-hmm.
okay? So it literally says, and things strewn in the sky will fall from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That is extremely indicative of the meteor showers that we expect right. during the tribulation period, because it doesn't mean a gaseous ball far, far away. It says anything that's just thrown up in the sky,
mm-hmm.
which could be meteors and asteroids. And that mm-hmm. would make sense if some of the cataclysms that we're expecting with other conspiracy theories that are out there
right.
that are a lot of fun to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see those, we'll see that there will be massive amounts of meteors coming down. And that word stars here in English is astares, which is something strewn.
Mm-hmm.
It could mean the meteors as well, exactly the same as a gaseous ball so far away. So you can't use that for flurf anything. But the Son of Man coming in the clouds, because he's talking about him, hey, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. After that, then they'll say that at this point, mm-hmm. immediately after the tribulation, because right. after the tribulation, Jews right. will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the sun will be darkened, the moon will turn to blood, and then you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. You'll see the Matzaroth working it. And check this out. This is where you know it's not the rapture. What do we know about the rapture? Who goes where to meet whom?
All Christians living in dead. Well, first, the dead rise first,
mm-hmm.
and then those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ living on earth join them.
Did we go to meet Jesus in the air, and he comes back the same way that
in
he
the
went
clouds,
up?
Right?
In the clouds. Okay. My question is this: where are angels in that passage?
They're not there.
They're not there. But this says in verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one heaven of other to one hand of heaven to the other.
Right.
Okay. So you got to ask yourself, is this a different event? Because now he's sending angels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay. my contention has always been that the angels gather all of us who have been in heaven for a while, 7 years. We're having a good time. Okay. And now all of a sudden I got an angel coming to me and says, okay, it's time for us to go take care of the earth now. You know, come on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go without question okay. and yeah. happily and dressed in white. Yeah.
And that's it. Because at the end of Revelation, we do come back with him, gathers everybody up. In Revelation 19, he comes mm-hmm. back. We're following him in nice white linen. It's going right. to be great.
Yeah.
Okay. He comes out with the double-edged sword out of his mouth, destroys the armies, and we rule and reign with him.
Amen. So
read Revelation 19. You'll see.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So he gathers everybody. But check this out. It also says the great sound of a trumpet, but it's not the trump of God. It's a different trumpet.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And it's mm-hmm. probably one of those Revelation trumpets that you heard
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm.
And it will gather the elect from the four winds. What did we talk about in the first half about the four of anything in any kind of a harvest?
Mm. Again, that one.
That was the gleaning, remember?
I'm thinking about the corners still. That's where I'm focused.
Yeah, well, four winds, four corners. Yeah. It's all the same mindset.
Okay.
When you have the main. The first harvest is the first fruits, mm-hmm. and you pick all the stuff that ripened and it's perfect. You bring it to the Lord. You worship, and you worship the Lord.
Is that the ancient saints or whatever?
It was Matthew 24, 27:52, I think. Okay. Yeah. So remember, the dead in Christ rose with him
mm-hmm.
at the resurrection. That was a type of first fruits. Right. The 144,000 will be a type of first fruits, because remember, there's different harvests. Just like there's barley, there's wheat, there's olives, there's grapes. Right. Different harvests. Okay. It's all the same farmer.
Yeah.
Different harvests.
Right.
Jesus said, I have sheep of a different fold. I got to go tend to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's different people. And we'll get into that. Remind me about John when we're done with this. We'll talk about the different people, different people groups, different ecclesias, if you would.
Okay.
So, but this one says, they shall gather from the four winds, which means this is a final harvest.
Okay.
This is the gleaning. First fruits, main harvest, gleaning. There's three parts to every harvest.
Okay.
You take the best, you give it to the Lord. Take the main harvest, you do that, you leave a little bit in the corners, and then you go back later and send the servants in to, to collect the things in the corners. Yeah. So he's elect.
And that's going to be about all that's left after the tribulation period, all the people that did take the mark of the beast and everything else. I can imagine it's not going to be a tremendous amount, in my opinion. It's not going to be a
Well, it'll be the greatest revival, but it'll only be with the people that are left.
Yeah. Now, that's what I mean.
The world's going to be destroyed, sadly.
Yeah.
And then he goes in to learn the parable of the fig tree, which we all know.
Yes.
So we've seen this. But again, it's Israel-centric.
Mm-hmm.
This entire passage is Israel-centric. Even the elect, okay? The righteous is one thing. When we read the book of Enoch, it says there's two groups of people, the elect and the righteous.
Right.
The elect and the righteous at the end. Mm-hmm. But the elect, most of the time when you see it, you know, you got to take into account translations, but the elect is Israel, or the righteous. We were made righteous in the blood of Christ, and they'll be the elect. They were chosen by God himself, and he made that covenant himself, and he put Abraham to sleep, so he couldn't even, like, you can't even do anything about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the end over here.
Yeah.
Clearly, and it's the gleaning. It's the final harvest.
Yeah.
And again, it's, you know, to Israel centric. So let's take a look at, you know, is this one? Where did it go now?
Now you're running into my problem.
So many things.
I'm always losing.
Now we talked, John the Baptist, that's what it was. It's over here.
Yeah.
JB. Okay. I call him JB.
Okay.
All right. So, and this is where we are. And ironically,
can you give me the book?
Yeah, we're in 2 Peter 3:3.
2 Peter.
Ironically, this is where we're at, because it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Yeah.
For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That is clearly evolution language. Because that's what they have.
And I got an email just the other day that almost did that word for word. I mean, it was really close. You know, it hadn't happened for 2,000 years. What makes you think it's going to happen now? Because the Bible said so. You want me to give you the book and the chapter and the verse?
2,000 years you can read it. Behind it.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, David.
Because, if you asked me that 2,000 years ago, I say, hey, I don't know. It could be a while. Now I'm like, it's already been a while, and you should expect it any moment.
Right, exactly.
And they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, standing out of the water. So we see that's huge in the last 100 years. They pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed evolution because it's anti-God.
Right.
And here we are at the end of the age, and they want people to be indoctrinated with anti-God stuff.
Right.
So they don't believe in this whole rapture thing. Oh, that's crazy. You know, everything's the same as it was. And millions of years, it's just been like this. No, it hasn't. There's a cataclysm. 4,000 years ago, there was a flood. Changed everything.
Yeah.
Maybe you missed that part.
Right.
But these are the scoffers, and even to the point where even a lot of Christians say, oh, you've been talking about this rapture, you know, since the 80s. It's like, well, yeah, because I've been looking since the 80s. That's when I was saved.
Been waiting for it since then, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to ask yourself this, JD. Would you rather say, oh, well, in case he doesn't come, I don't want to look foolish? Or would you rather be like, I'm going to look for him every single day, and if it's not for another 100 years, then glory to God, I was watching out for him out my window every single day.
Every day.
And he's going to come back and say, thank you so much. I saw how much you longed for me all those years. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's I wish I could say I wake up every day and think that, but I'm a human being just like everybody else. And occasionally, I mean, yeah, I pray. Sure I do. And you know, I believe in my Lord and I love my Lord, but there's also those times, you know, because I am a human being. I'm not thinking about the rapture right that second, you know?
I've actually come to that point now in my life where that's the first thing I wake up. Oh, not yet. How about today? Is it going to be today?
I'm hoping.
I vote for today.
I'm hoping to join you in, you know, to have that recognition or that understanding or, you know, immediately every morning. I would love that. I would love that. And
yeah, could you get a crown of righteousness for that?
Yeah, yeah. I do think about it more than a lot of people do. I'll say that in my own defense. I can do better. I can do better. Lord, help me do better.
Well, we all can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's, check this out. It's 2 Timothy 4:8.
2 Timothy. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And this is beautiful. So henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Remember, we talked about the crowns in Revelation 4.
Mm-hmm.
This is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen. Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
And we are to hasten unto his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
Hastening unto. That's a good one, too. Let me pull that one. Hastening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yes. Yeah, we love hastening. Who doesn't love hastening?
Man. Wow. I mean, I can't help it. I keep reading Bible verses out as you're looking, and so you'll have to forgive me. Every now and then, I'm still reading while you're
we're
talking.
We're off in La La Land.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it says, you know, blessed is he who, and we're supposed to hasten his. In other words, we're supposed to rush him in. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to pray him in. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So, and you get a crown of righteousness for loving his appearing. So I want to speak to now the different harvest times.
Okay.
I know we spoke earlier about the four harvests that are in the Bible in Revelation, specifically barley, wheat, olives, and grapes.
Okay.
As we'll see later, the olive trees come, and then we see the grapes of wrath being trampled out.
Mm-hmm.
Mine eyes have seen the glory. Or you could do VeggieTales, the grapes of wrath. They're cute. they go around causing trouble. So the scoffers come and they criticize it. Now, that's clearly fulfilling prophecy. So everyone says, oh, where's this coming? Oh, keep saying that because that means it's coming faster.
Yeah. I'm liking the fact that you're telling me it's not going to happen. Look, it's been too long. I'm liking that because the Bible's telling me that that's exactly what's going to be said right before it happens. So, yeah, keep talking.
Yeah. So I want to point out the difference between Israel and the church.
Okay.
Because important. A lot of people think, oh, they'll all be resurrected in the same day at the end.
No.
No, they won't. We saw how Israel in Matthew 24 will be resurrected at the end because that's the gleaning there, mm-hmm. and it'll come around and it'll get them.
Right.
And then the first fruits of Israel is, you know, the 144,000. He said these are the first fruits, and then mm-hmm. later on we see the end of the gleaning. Mm-hmm. So with that 7-year period, you have the first fruits of the 144,000, you have the main harvest, and then you have the gleaning. You see that entire picture.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the book of Revelation. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But that's the Jews. The church is already up.
Right.
And they're already out. We saw that in Revelation chapter 4, mm-hmm. where the 24 elders are clearly the church, a representation mm-hmm. of the church, because mm-hmm. they're on thrones, they're wearing white robes made white, and they have crowns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the church. Right. And they rule and reign with him. They're kings and priests, it says later on.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a king and a priest? Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah.
Angels aren't. No one else is. We are kings and priests.
Okay.
After the order of Melchizedek, because we follow our king. So to corroborate this, I want to bring you to Matthew 11:11.
Okay.
Not lemon, 11:11.
Okay.
And it says, verily I say unto you. Now, who's he talking to here?
Is this to John?
No, Matthew 11:11, but I'm going to back up a little bit.
Okay.
And Jesus is talking about the blind receive. So,
I caught up with you.
Yeah, yeah. So John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. So John's in prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from other writings, we pretty much know that John was an Essene, and they were the ones that were expecting the Messiah. They were the Zadok priests. Not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. They were the Zadok priests. Okay. Those are the ones that were expecting the Messiah, and they knew who Jesus was. And those are the ones that, for the most part, became the Christians, which is why they kind of disappeared, because they're the church now.
Yeah,
well, okay. Zadok priests, and Zadok is righteousness. Mm-hmm. So they were the righteous priests. They called themselves. And it came to pass in Matthew 11, verse 1, I'm going to start up there. Okay. When Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to preach in the cities, teach and preach in the cities. Mm-hmm. Now, when John heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two disciples. Because now he's in jail going, hey, I thought you were going to take over, right?
Right. Okay.
What happened? Mm-hmm. Again, it's that same narrative. I thought you were here to take over when he came to be the lamp. Mm-hmm. He sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So two of the disciples came. Are you the one who's coming, mm-hmm. or do we have to look for another one? Because they were expecting the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which you do and hear.
Okay.
Now, this is very important, this narrative. The blind receive their sight.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell John, this is what's happening. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is imperative because the Essenes had the doctrine of the dead are raised, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Old Testament doesn't have that. It doesn't say the Messiah will raise the dead. So, when we see this, we know he's talking to the Essenes. That's another good thing. Mm-hmm. But check out, as a side note here, what was the remedy for the blind to receive their sight? The remedy for the lame is to walk. The remedy for the lepers is they were cleansed. The remedy for the deaf is that they hear. And the remedy for the dead is they're raised up to life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the remedy for the poor?
Well, riches, but
have
not
the gospel preached to them.
Yeah, I was just saying it's the riches of knowing the Savior. I mean, I don't know how to.
Well, the poor. It literally says so. When people say, "Oh, the Bible wants you to be poor," no. Bible says you preach the gospel and you'll have wealth, not to lavish it upon yourself. We know that,
right?
But you'll. Because that's part of the kingdom.
Yeah.
He became poor that we might become rich.
And right now, I've got to say this right now. David is not talking about a prosperity gospel here.
No.
Okay.
You're overemphasizing it.
Yeah. If you're listening to somebody like Peter Popoff, or you know, somebody that's gonna sell you some tap water and tell you that they blessed it or something, you're on the wrong path. And, you know, you're not going to go to your mailbox. There's not going to be $1 million check waiting for you if you do what he told you to do. That's not how it works, and that's not what he's telling
you.
That's not
what he's talking.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make that clear. We're not prosperity gospel preachers here. That's not happening.
No. You have to read the word. And when you read the word, all of these things are what Jesus exchanged for us. So you can have these blessings. And they're clearly, he says, they're not just so you can lavish it upon yourself. They're to teach and preach and be ambassadors in the kingdom.
Amen.
So that's why, you know, any extra money I get, boom, it goes out. And you know what? Then he sends more. Okay, you're going to do good stuff? Here's more. And he then sends more and he sends more.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. It's not so you can have another Mercedes. Sorry.
Right. Mm. Or a private jet.
I mean, you can have one because it's safe, but you know, you don't need five.
Yeah.
Okay. Go give it to someone else who needs one. So, blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to multitudes concerning John, why'd you go out to the wilderness? You see a reed shaken with the wind? So, let me jump on down to verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Look at that. John the Baptist is the greatest man ever. Right, J.D.?
Yep, that's what he says as far as being on in the world. Yeah, okay.
It's clear here. Verily, I say, among them that are born of men, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. However, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is.
The janitor in heaven is greater than John the Baptist.
Right, because it's a different dispensation. Amen. He is of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, mm-hmm. okay? We mm-hmm. see that again in Luke 16:16, where it says the law and the prophets were until John. This is a different age now. Amen. We see that same picture on the Mount mm-hmm. of Transfiguration. There's mm-hmm. Jesus, there's Moses, there's Elijah. Moses mm-hmm. and Elijah represents the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Peter says, hey, let me build a house for everybody. And what happens? Big cloud knocks him over. Stop that. Hear Jesus. It's only about Jesus now, mm-hmm. not the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the age of grace, what it's called. This is the church age, what we call it. And it is the bride of Christ. Okay. Amen. This is the age we are in. And this is what we're going to see. It's different than the Old Testament saints. It's different than Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. It's different from the final week of mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 9, when I believe the two witnesses will probably be Moses and Elijah again, mm-hmm. because they represent the law and the prophets, so going back to that, plus all of their signs that they do are exactly what Moses and Elijah did.
Yeah, it's a pretty good hint right there.
The same
yeah.
sign. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah. we see him on the Mount of Transfiguration. We mm-hmm. hear about him, the law and the prophets, unto John. And then we see Jesus, you know, God says, this is my son, hear him. It's a different age. And we need mm-hmm. to understand that the church will not be here for that final 7 years, which has to deal with Israel returning mm-hmm. back to the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. Okay, it starts with 144,000 being the first fruits and brought up to the wedding feast. So, That's all I got to say about that. It's a different time period. It's a different mm-hmm. group of people. It's a different sheep of a different fold. Mm-hmm. It's a different time frame. The church is not Israel. Sorry, yeah. It isn't.
It's not.
Not the David, tribulation. Different group. Take us out.
Well, I'm going to let you take us out, and I'm going to let you do it in this way. And that is, I want you to explain to people, I've done it, and you got 30 seconds to do it. how do people accept Jesus Christ?
It's real simple. God gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. He says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You'll be saved. Mm-hmm. Confess with your mouth. Jesus, you're my Lord. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be a long thing. I love you, Jesus. I want you to be my savior. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Something along those lines, but he's mm-hmm. going to know, and he's going to give you some words if you ask him. And then you just receive him and start to read the word, start to Amen. Walk in it every day. I would highly recommend you do that before A, you die, or B, the rapture.
Yeah, because either one of them is not going to be good news for you if you haven't accepted Christ yet. So we do hope that you will, and we hope that you'll join us for the next show, The Last Christian. Remember, we're here 3 times a week, and no matter where you're listening to us, we appreciate you being here. Invite some of your friends, and if you're on YouTube, subscribe, like, click, join. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.